Pall-Mall Famous Cigarettes present The Big Story.
Okay, that's Moose. Now, you all know what to do. Let him in.
Hiya! Hiya, Joey!
Sit down.
What's the matter? Hey, put that gun down, Joey.
What's the matter, huh? Nothing. Not a thing. Just ratted. You just went and sang to the cops.
I didn't!
Shut up. Shut up and start to die. Because here it comes.
Oh, don't, Joey, don't!
Just a gag, Moose. It wasn't loaded. I was getting bored, so I thought I'd have a laugh. Okay, now let's get to work. I got a nice job. All lined up.
The Big Story. Another in the thrilling series based on true experiences of newspaper reporters. Tonight, to Ted Prager of the New York Daily News, goes the Pall Mall Award for The Big Story. Four notes that are alike, and one that is outstanding. And of America's leading cigarettes, one is outstanding.
At 10 p.m. Eastern Time on NBC, The Big Story took to the air live from New York. Ernest Chappell announced, and some of New York's most well-known character actors also appeared. The series grew out of a real crime case. Bernard J. Proctor, independent producer of radio shows, read a Newsweek account of how two Chicago Times reporters had worked for months on a 14-year-old murder case. Before uncovering evidence that led to a pardon for a man wrongly convicted. He wondered if a series built around reporters and their big stories would work on the air. The show premiered on April 2, 1947, and by the autumn was topping Bing Crosby on ABC in their head-to-head ratings battles. It won its time slot with a 16.1.
The authentic and exciting story of Manhunt in Manhattan.
You are Ted Prager, night reporter for the New York Daily News. And murder is almost old hat to you. You've covered the doings of Vincent Mad Dog Carl, Dutch Schultz, Sony Madden, and Murder Incorporated for your paper. You know your underworld, you know robbery, arson, burglary, and homicide, almost inside out, the way an insurance man knows statistics. Yes, you know your business. You're even a little blasé about crime. Until one night, about 1 a.m, you're in a friendly bar on East 7th Street, and the conversation is small talk with Sandy, the bartender.
Oh, football's not football anymore. You're too professional, Sandy. Give me those college teams.
Yeah, I agree with you, Mr. Prager. You take that old Notre Dame team, I'd rather watch them than it. Hey, Mr. Prager, you see that?
What?
That guy just walked in.
The one with his hair all slicked down?
Yeah. Looks like there's 4 or 5 with him.
Say, I know that face from somewhere. Some small-time mug or other.
What are they spreading out like that for?
I don't know. Sandy, it looks like a stick-up.
There's a smart man. Cute, too. Give that man a cigar. That's just what it is. All right, everybody, quiet. And you people haven't figured it out yet. This is what we call a hold-up. Get your wallets out, rings, jewelry from the ladies. My boys will pass among you. Baki, you.
Me?
Open up that register and empty it on a bar. Now, make the rounds, boys. And you don't have to leave none of these good people car fare. Let them walk. What are you looking at, cute guy?
Nothing.
Let's see what you got.
Here's my money.
Yeah, $40. I'll take your pen, too, and your wallet and that ring.
Okay.
What do you think you're looking at? My face? Don't you like what you see? Maybe you want to remember me, is that it?
Here.
Moose.
Yeah?
Give me a blackjack. This cute fella here is giving me the once-over.
Chief, we're all set. We got everything cleaned it out good. Let's go.
Okay, we go. Too bad, cute guy.
And I was just going to give you something to remember me by. So long, dopes.
Then something incredible happens. Five crooks walked in, but only three leave. Two of them are still standing in the bar, looking bewildered, not knowing what to do. Then you realize that they're not armed. Maybe you can stop them. You move, and pandemonium breaks loose.
Hey!
All right, stand back there. You two, stop, all right? Okay.
Hey, look out, got them both.
Good shooting there, officer.
Thanks.
Well, you couldn't get them all, but at least you got two of them.
Yeah.
Hey, dead, officer?
I don't think so. Say, who are you? You look familiar.
Ted Prager of the News.
Oh, yeah, sure. I remember you, Mr. Prager. Excuse me, I got to call the ambulance.
Nice work, officer. I'd like to write you up. What's your name?
Matt Gaines, 22nd Precinct. I could use the story, Mr. Prager. You could say it's too bad I only got two of them.
Too bad I only got two of them. Ain't that the funniest thing you ever heard?
Oh, that's terrific, Joey.
Listen, when Joey Rice does it, it gets done.
Yeah.
Too bad I only got two of them, said the policeman. Listen, from the paper, get this. It was not until after the shooting that the officer discovered his fatal mistake. The two men who had entered the bar with the gang were not part of the mob. I like that. Not part of the mob.
Yeah. Go ahead, finish it, Joey.
Yeah, hold your horses. Not part of the mob. Instead, they were two innocent taxi drivers that the leader of the mob had forced to stay behind to act as shields so that the actual robbers might escape under cover of the violence directed against the taxi drivers. Boy, is that the payoff.
Yeah, those dopes standing there. You know, I can just see them.
Jeez, imagine what they'd done. They start beating up those taxi drivers, and a cop comes and bang, bang. Law and order lays them out cold and says, too bad I only got two of them.
Yeah. They dead, Joey?
Nah, only one. Here, listen. One of the drivers, George Beaver, age 51, died instantly. The other, Edgar Benedetto, 34, is in City Hospital, where his condition is listed as critical. Boy, I ask you, ain't that the best scream you ever heard?
Yeah.
Sit down, Gaines. Why don't you sit down?
If he dies, Mr. Prager, I don't know what I'll do.
Now, why blame yourself? You made a mistake any cop might have.
A mistake?
That's right. Anyone could have done it. No one blames you.
I killed a man, an innocent man, and there's another one inside there in the operating room, and he may die, too. I murdered two men.
You didn't murder anyone. You accidentally shot two men in the line of duty. Look, I saw the face of the man who really murdered Beaver, the leader of that gang. It was a cruel face and a vicious one. He's the murderer, if anyone is.
I tell you, if Benedetto dies, Mr.
Gaines,
Prager,
I'll make you a promise. I'll find that man. I know his face from somewhere. I don't care how long it takes or what I have to do, but I'll find him.
That man, Benedetto, in the operating room, I checked up on him. He's 34. Been driving a cab since he was 21. Got a wife and two kids, a girl, 7, and a little baby, 21 months. I killed their father. I made a widow out of his wife.
Stop it, Gaines. You've got to stop it. In the first place, Benedetto's not dead.
No, only one of them's dead. Only Beaver's dead. Only a 51-year-old man's dead. That's not so bad, is it?
Why do you torture yourself?
Yeah, maybe I ought to just go outside.
Sit down and just wait, man. Try it. Maybe it won't be so bad. Yes? What is it, Doctor?
I'm sorry, gentlemen. Mr. Benedetto died on the operating table.